Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to take you behind the scenes in Smash Mouth.
Cuts across, he scores!
This is the Preds official podcast with Thomas Willis and Brooks Bratton.
That powerful move from back of the net.
On Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Episode 101. We're past the century mark, and it's all downhill from here. Welcome to the Preds official podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Brooks Bratton. He's Thomas Willis. Both of us of NashvillePredators.com. Maximilian brings down the music on the board, makes us sound good every week, and we are excited to be back for another week after the big 100th episode. You should lower your expectations once more.
You are really trying to turn the listeners away early in this one. I will say, I had that thought earlier. We started a bit late. We were a bit frantic as we got going. I was like, well, you know you've already crossed episode 100 when you're settling into your old poor routines.
There's nothing else to look forward to. No, it was fun to do 100 last week. We certainly appreciated all the feedback and all the audio questions. And so many of you entered into our contest, which yes. We will pick five of you coming up later in the show. We've got a couple of sticks and some bobbleheads to give away, so we will certainly do that. And I thought it was just cool to hear what everybody's favorite show has been. Pleasantly surprised with the amount of people who said Wes McCauley was your favorite episode.
Of course you were. Of course you were. Well, and to our show's credit, and Kevin Wilson, the Preds PR director, who helped us set up that interview, NHL refs don't really do podcasts. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like any podcast. I'm not just talking like team podcast or wherever. Like that was a good get. And so
I think he had said that was the first. He's done interviews, but I don't think he's ever done a podcast before.
There you go.
So we've been pretty groundbreaking between that. And then I had a chalk talk with some guys last year. They hadn't done anything like that before.
That's true. Yeah. Not on the podcast, but yeah, you had some referees in between the preseason games. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good time.
Well, speaking of groundbreaking interviews, we have another first-time guest on the show this time, Ellie Yossi. You can probably guess, wife of Roman Yossi, Norris Trophy winner, which we'll delve into that in a bit. She joins us in our next segment. We just got off the phone with her, and we've heard so much from Roman in this week. We've got plenty of clips from him. We were like, what's another perspective? And really cool to get her insight on Roman Yossi Day, which was Wednesday, and the surprise, I guess, party is the easiest way to say it, that involved as well. So you can hear all of that. I will not spoil it in about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah. And a couple more of you, after you had said which was your favorite episode, you then added, my new favorite episode will be 101 when we talk about Roman Yossi winning the Norris. And guess what we get to talk about?
Yes, that very thing. And we've got a few transactions for you as well. We'll delve into a little bit more insight on the upcoming season and, of course, answer your Twitter questions. So our joke or our comment often is, especially earlier in 2020 when it just seemed like sports might never happen again, we'd say, wow, what are we going to talk about? And we'd, you know, the podcast always finds a way. Like, you always have a bit of news there, or, you know, a cool guest here. And before you know it, it's another great 45 or so minutes of podcasting. At least we like to say that it is. So the same thing has happened.
And we think, wow, we did it again. We filled 45 minutes.
Well, the news
again.
Did it. We just talked about it. But,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
So speaking of, for the first time ever, the Predators have a Norris Trophy winner. No Pred in 22 seasons has done that. It's only the second time a Nashville Predator has won a performance-based award. That first time coming just 2 years ago when Pekka Rinne won the Vezina Trophy. So for all the great defensemen that have suited up in Preds Gold or Navy in years prior, I'm thinking of Shea Weber, for example, of course, one of the biggest names. Roman Yossi is the first ever to do it, and I think it just is such a compliment to his game and what he means in today's NHL, because even the critics of the Norris Trophy would say, well, a lot of times it just goes to the guy that puts up the most points and is just great at offense. And isn't it supposed to be for the best defenseman? And Roman Yossi just checked all of those boxes. He said, great, I can lead your zone exits. I can lead your time on ice. But you know what? I can also put up 65 points in 69 games and set personal and franchise records there as well. He went up against, as you know, John Carlson and Victor Hedman, and Yossi takes home the win.
I think what was one of the more impressive things about the announcement on Monday and then following that, the NHL always releases the voting system, the point system, how things shook out. Thomas, I think we felt pretty good. I mean, again, we're biased, but I think we both felt pretty good that Roman was probably going to win. I feel like we thought he had a really good chance to do mm-hmm. so. But I think what surprised me was the discrepancy.
Yeah,
in,
absolutely.
I mean, he crushed the first place votes.
Yeah.
And it was, again, as you said, between John Carlson and Victor Hedman was the other third finalist. Alex Pietrangelo was included in some people's ballots as well from the Blues.
Well, and we've said this before, but to clarify as well, this Norris Trophy is voted on by the Professional Hockey Writers Association. So yes. Essentially professional journalists, you know, throughout the two countries in the U.S. and Canada get to vote on it. So that's where the voting is taking place that you're referring to.
Yeah, so Roman got 109 first place votes, which was not that close to John Carlson, and then Victor Hedman finished third. What I thought was also not a huge surprise, but still cool to see that Roman also finished seventh in voting for the Hart Trophy as the MVP of the entire league. Leon Draisaitl takes home that award of the Edmonton Oilers. But there were some folks who thought that Roman should also be in the Hart Trophy conversation.
Mm-hmm. And then this part isn't surprising since he did win the Norris, but Roman Josi also named, who you don't see this talked about a ton, but after the season, the NHL will put out their first and second All-Star teams. And it just means effectively that if you're on the first All-Star team, they're saying, you know, these are the best six skaters that we would put on the ice. Not makes a lot of sense. You just won the Norris Trophy, but Roman Josi, that's the first time he's ever received that honor as well. So putting together what you and I know so well, we saw all 69 of those games, but that's sometimes when it comes into the bias, or is there not bias, or, you know, sometimes people say the awards are decided too soon. And John Carlson, I think all of us would agree to this, had a better start to the season. Mm-hmm. He was just piling up points.
People were calling him Johnny Norris.
Yeah.
It seemed that there was no way he wasn't going to win.
Yeah, and so a lot of times, like, you can't watch every Nashville Predator game. Maybe you only get to see a few. And so because of that, you remembered yourself, oh, the Capitals are great, and I know Carlson was putting up a bunch of points and so many of them on the power play. But hey, credit where credit is due. I think Roman Josi deserved to win. Sure, there's some bias there. But I think the journalists and the voters, you know, were able to put that forth as well. And to win by such a wide margin surprises me. I think if you'd made me bet, I think I've said this on the show, I felt confident he would be in the top two. Like, I felt it was probably going to be Carlson or Josi. I thought Hedman, he's just been nominated so many times that there's a little bit of tiredness there maybe. But I didn't know. I did not know if he was going to be able to win it. And then to do it by such a wide margin, I think that goes to show you just don't see that often in hockey. That there were points in the season where I'd be watching a game and I'd say to you or to someone else, like, this is more like basketball. Just get the puck to Roman Josi. And like, if he wants to try and win this game, like, he probably can, or he can cut through the whole ice and tie it for Nashville. Hockey's such a team sport. You just don't, you know, see that level of dominance. And we did this year. So it's great to see it rewarded and great to see it happen just in the start of a long-term contract that he just signed with Nashville as well. So he's got 7 years to go. You know, coming up, and all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, well, if this is his prime, you know, there are many more good years to come.
As you might imagine, he did countless interviews shortly after the fact, and we've got some clips that we wanted to play from him now. First off, of course, he was asked, Roman, you're a Norris Trophy winner. What does this mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot. I mean, it's definitely a dream coming true. I think as a player, the ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup. And but I think personally, like, every year you try to prepare for the season, and you try to be the best player you can be. You try to work on things in the summer. And I think, if every guy tries to be the best player, that means your team is going to have a lot of success. So, on a personal standpoint, it's always been a dream of mine, and it's pretty surreal that I've actually won this, and it's definitely a dream coming true.
You heard him say it's been a dream, and he's never been shy about that. And I've always appreciated that most hockey players, as the culture goes, it's never about them. It's about the team. But Roman has not been shy in saying, yeah, I'd like to win a Norris Trophy one day. That is definitely mm-hmm. a goal of mine. Mm-hmm. Really great to see that goal come true. And someone else who folks, especially here in Nashville, would argue that Shea Weber should have won probably at least one Norris Trophy during his heyday here in the early 2010s with the Preds. Roman had the opportunity, of course, to learn from Shea Weber And then his defensive partner now, Ryan Ellis, he was asked about the two of them learning from Shea and then playing with Ryan and how much that means to him as well.
Let me interject and quickly say, good news, Roman Josi has 8 more years left in Nashville. As soon as I said it, I was like, wait, no, because he hasn't started his new 8-year contract. So that begins in the 2021 season. Mm-hmm. Ironically enough, Coach Hines at the Roman Josi Day party said maybe it was 9 more years. None of us know. It's 8 more years starting with this coming season. Now here's the clip of Josi talking about Shea Weber.
Oh, helped a lot. I mean, coming up as a young kid, and seeing Shea Weber practice every day, seeing him play every day, and then I got to play with him as a pairing. It was pretty cool, and there's nothing better for a young kid to learn from a guy like him. And yeah, he's one of those guys. I mean, he definitely deserved to win the Norris, and he's just such a great person and such a great player to learn from. So I was very lucky, and obviously playing with Ellie the last couple of years. He's just such a rock back there. He's so solid. He lets me play my game. He's an unbelievable player, and I should probably give half of this trophy to him. And yeah, I hope he wins one of those. He definitely deserves it. He's an unbelievable player, and I'm very glad I'm playing with him.
So you can't break out the saw and slice the Norris Trophy in
maybe.
Half.
Asking Solomon, maybe.
I guess anything is possible.
Also, point of clarification, part two. Ellie as in Ryan Ellis, not Ellie as in Ellie Josi, who we'll be talking to in our second segment, and not Ellie Tolvanen, who's not really in this conversation. But Roman leads a very confusing life when it comes to the name Ellie.
I would be willing to bet that Roman Josi is the only defenseman in the NHL whose wife has the same nickname as his defensive partner.
Yes, partner Ellie, no, as in wife, or partner Ellie as in defensive partner. Anyway, and we can touch on this in future episodes, but I agree with Roman there. I think this was Ryan Ellis' best season. I mean, maybe ever, or at least top two. And it's funny to me to see some of the criticism that Ryan Ellis got, you know, back and forth. But no question, one defenseman leans very heavily on the guy that he's on the ice with almost all of the time. So, yeah, I mean, no, he won't get it only in what Yossi's saying in name only. But, you know, Ryan Ellis does deserve some of this award, and we'll see. I mean, I don't know that his game leads to the flash, per se, of the end-to-end rushes like Josi does, but Ryan Ellis has shown an ability to put up a lot of points, especially on the power play over his career. So, yeah, I mean, maybe at least a Norris Trophy finalist season is in Ryan Ellis' future as well.
Well, you heard Roman say it, too. Ellis is such a rock, and he allows Roman to do what he does. He knows that, okay, if I do this end-to-end rush, Ryan Ellis is going to be back here, and he's going to take care of things for me. So, as you said, I think one of the best defensive pairings in the National Hockey League, certainly. And then one more, I thought it was cool, just the amount of people with something like this that reach out to you. And I think that was really what was humbling and impressive to Roman, is just you never know how people are going to react until something like this happens. And the amount of people, including his idol, Roger Federer, who reached out and said congratulations, he was pretty taken aback by that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty awesome. It was such an amazing day for me and my family. I was watching the show at home with my wife and my two dogs, just relaxing at home watching the show. And then obviously I got a lot of texts, especially from people here in North America. And then once people in Switzerland woke up, I got a lot of texts from Switzerland. It's pretty special just seeing how people are happy for you. It definitely means a lot to me. And I gotta go through all those texts and say thank you, because it means a lot. People are happy for you. They're taking their time to say congrats. A lot of teammates, a lot of guys you played with, a lot of people from Switzerland, people that I don't see that often. So it's been a pretty cool day and definitely pretty special.
So hear him mention Switzerland, and I do want to mention this as well, that I had an opportunity to write a pretty cool story on Preds.com about how he became the world's best defenseman. And I actually talked to his mom, his dad, his brother, and 3 of his best friends. I'm really good at making phone calls to Switzerland now, because that's where they are all based. But it was amazing to talk to them. It's honestly probably my favorite thing that I've ever written for the Preds. I hope you've read it. It got a lot of good play. But if you haven't, I really hope you'll take the 10 or 15 minutes it might take for you to go ahead and read it.
Cause that's it, only if you're a slow reader, maybe 3 minutes.
Sure. You can buzz through it. Cause it really, I think it is really cool. An insight to Roman's life from mm-hmm. people who know him best that we never talk to. Yeah. And I also talked to Ellie, his wife. And again, we'll hear from her coming up, but, just a really cool look and a really cool kind of to peel back the curtain as we try to do on this show, but to say, hey, you're his best friend. You're his mom. You're his dad. Why is he like this? How is he able to produce like this? What did you see when he was a little kid that made him this way?
In closing, you've picked up a theme of this offseason that we're in is David Poile and John Hines and the Predators management saying they believe firmly in the foundation that they have, that they want to change the pieces around it, but that the first line of Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson, and then the first pairing of Josi and Ellis, and then goaltending to a point, I guess I should say as well, with Rinne and Saros, that they don't want to change that. They want to keep that. They want to change the pieces around it. And so even though the team success was not there this year, and that's not good enough, and the Predators have said that, and they want to change course as quickly as possible, I think it's just one more nice, you know, compliment to say, no, you really do have the best defenseman in the world, probably the best defensive pairing. Yes, go change the third pairing. Yes, go change the second, third, or fourth lines. But, you know, you've got these pieces that have gotten you to a President's Trophy, that have gotten to a Stanley Cup final. You know, change things up and try for it again. And so I think that's nice as well to have a nice ending point on a season that, you know, we were probably frustrated with more so in August. To be able to end on this note and be like, yeah, you know what? What I did get to watch for those 69 regular season games, that was special. Like I'm hopefully we'll get to see it again in years to come, but maybe not. So on that, we'll speak to Mrs. Josi coming up just after this break here on the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You're so holy, 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 holy. Oh God, run into the altar like a track star.
Predators official podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app and all sorts of other places. Brooks Bratton and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com back alongside. And we are pleased to be joined now by the person who is married to the best defenseman in the world. Ellie Josi is kind enough to join us. Is that an okay introduction?
That was more than okay.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. Welcome to the podcast. We're so happy to have you. How has this last week been? Roman Josi, of course, the winner of the Norris Trophy, your husband, the best defenseman in the world. What has the last week or so been like?
Oh my gosh. Well, saying Norris Trophy is awesome and one thing, but saying world's best defenseman is kind of insane. It sounds awesome. But yeah, wow, I could not be more proud of him. It's pretty surreal. And now we've kind of had time to let it sink in a little bit. And yeah, it's pretty special. Roman gives me reasons every day to be proud of him, but this is definitely a big one. And, you know, I see how hard he works and how much time he puts into this, so I could not be more proud.
So Wednesday was Roman Josi Day, the first ever, and there was a pretty cool surprise at Bridgestone Arena that you were a part of, the organization was a part of. I know Roman was touched with some of the video messages he got, for example, one from Roger Federer. So what went into that surprise and that planning, and then how cool was that event as a whole since, you know, you weren't able to celebrate in the traditional way of winning an NHL award?
Yeah. So it all started with Brandon Walker, the team manager, and he called me and told me he had this big idea. And originally, when he told me the idea, I told him Roman is not huge on surprises or anything where like all the attention is on him. But the idea was so special. So I thought, you know what, Roman can suck it up this time because I think it'll be so cool and something that he'll never forget. So, and that's exactly what it was. It was so special, especially the video portion. I almost cried a couple times.
Ellie, I was going to say, I noticed your reaction, especially when, as Thomas mentioned, Roger Federer came on the screen. And for anyone who doesn't know, Roger Federer is Roman's idol. What was that like to see him on there?
Oh my gosh. I was expecting, Roman's reaction was a little underwhelming. Honestly, I thought he was going to start or either pass out because Roger is Roman's absolute role model. Like, I think he might be in love with him, honestly. So that's why I gave him that look. I was like, where's your reaction? But no, he was so happy afterwards. He was freaking out. That was pretty awesome.
I was about to say, give us his recap of it. If he doesn't like surprises, and that was a bunch of surprises in a row, what did he think overall once the day was done?
So, yeah, I think it was, the whole thing was definitely a lot, but it was, like, looking back, he told me in the car, he was like, that was the most special thing. He was so grateful, you know, because all these people were involved in, like, setting it up. And I think, like, initially when he walked in the room, he was just so in shock. But then afterwards, like, after it sunk in, he was so happy. You could tell he was so happy.
Ellie, have you guys been able to, as Thomas said, I mean, it's obviously different. Normally, the award would have been won in Vegas, and you probably would have gone out for dinner on the Strip and maybe just hung out and enjoyed with family and friends. Have you been able to celebrate in any other way? Have you had a nice dinner or anything like that to celebrate?
Yeah, actually, when we found out originally, we were driving to Blackberry Farm, which is like our favorite place to go for the weekend. So that whole weekend was kind of, we were kind of celebrating that whole weekend. And that was pretty special. But I'm the type of person that like gets really excited about like birthdays and accomplishments and things like that. So like the whole weekend, I was just super giddy and excited for him. And he's like more, you know, a little more low key about celebrating just because he's so humble. But yeah, that weekend was pretty special.
Ellie, for our listeners, and I guess for them right now, we're speaking to Ellie Yossi, the wife of Roman Yossi, soon to be mother-to-be. We can get into that in a moment. You guys announced that amazing news, the first little kiddo on the way soon. But take us back in just your relationship, how you met Roman over the years. And for those that don't know, maybe your story of how you got together, I'd love for you to tell that.
So Roman and I met in 2015 at a bar called Acme Downtown, which is absolutely so unfitting for us, the fact that we met at a bar, because we do not go to bars ever. I feel so old. But my agent actually introduced us at the bar, and then we ended up going to brunch the next day and spending the whole day together. And then I actually had plans to move to Miami because I just signed with an agency there. So Roman knew he only had a few weeks to make his moves. So he asked me to go to dinner a couple nights in a row. And I remember thinking, like, that's a little aggressive, like four nights in a row, like four date nights. And I think I even told him that. And then, it was kind of funny because it's totally out of his character to do that. But I'm thankful that he did, because here we are.
Well, and you, Ellie, you had told me that you knew he was a hockey player, and you talked a little bit about that, but he's very humble. He didn't say, you know, I'm this up and coming superstar, but it was actually your uncle who said, hey, he's pretty good.
Yes. So yeah, I honestly didn't know much about hockey when I first met him. Like I hadn't even been to a Preds game. But I actually did grow up going to Red Wings games, in Michigan with my dad, but I kind of went more to spend time with him than actually getting into the game. But yeah, when I first met Roman, he's just so humble. And he actually told me, quote unquote, when we first met, that he wasn't any good at hockey. And since I hadn't seen any games, I believed him. And then I moved to Miami and I started to watch his games there. And I actually remember thinking, like, this guy plays a lot for not being good. yeah, that's when my uncle told me, clued me in and told me that he is possibly one of the best defensemen in the world. And that's when I started to finally catch on.
Ellie, we touched on hockey and Roman first because this is the Preds official podcast, of course, so we tend to do that. But you have your modeling career as well, and I'm curious, since you've been married, I guess, the last year or so, how do you balance, you've already mentioned a couple times in this interview, traveling and going places, how do you balance just two careers that are so demanding for the two of you? And then even just being able to see each other at all as you're, you know, having these high profile careers as well.
Yeah, it's In the past, it's been really hard just when, like, our schedules don't match up perfectly. Sometimes they do, and sometimes we get, like, weeks to be together, but sometimes it's hard and we'll go months without seeing each other. So that's definitely been a struggle in the past, but, I mean, obviously now with Corona, we've both been home a lot. And, I mean, as terrible as Corona has been, it's been nice being able to spend time with him. But yeah, when the baby comes, I certainly won't be working as much as I did before. So we'll definitely have time.
So you mentioned the baby, and you guys made that announcement a few weeks ago that you're expecting your first child in February, I guess Valentine's Day, actually. First off, congratulations. And how excited, how happy are you guys? And what is it like being parents to be?
Oh my gosh, we could not be happier. We're so excited to meet him. I don't know if I told you the gender yet.
Oh, congrats.
A little boy. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. And then he's due on Valentine's Day. So it's only a couple months away, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, I mean, the baby is not even born and he's already changed our lives in the most special way. So yeah, we're super, super excited. My only wish was that he was here now to see his dad accomplish such an incredible thing, but we'll be here soon. And I know Roman will only continue to make us proud. So we'll have plenty of more special moments.
That's awesome. My wife and I, our daughter turns 2 in November. And for us, like, we knew girl names. I'm not asking you to reveal the name by any means here, but like, we knew girl names and like, we were confident about certain things, and just a boy name, for example, we had no idea. I'm just curious if there's already been a few things like, you know, she knew X, Y, and Z, and I had preconceived notions that were totally wrong, but you know, we did have a girl first and we did have that name, but I'm wondering if there's already a few things that you're like, no, that's not right. Or maybe Roman feels like he knows more than he does, or how's that process been in the few months?
Names are hard. Like, I've had a list of names in my phone since, I don't know, since college probably. That's crazy. But and I have so many girls' names that I love, but I hadn't really had any. I didn't have any boys' names on the list. And yeah, that's been kind of tricky. We do have one name that we love for a boy. But that's the only one we have. So, like, we don't have a backup or anything. So, we'll see. We're just thinking, like, if he comes out and doesn't look like that name, like, I don't know what we're going to do. But, so yeah, we'll be set when we have a girl. We have lots of girls' names.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well, things are obviously going to change when the baby comes. But, as you said, any time you get to spend together is special. And maybe you've had a little bit more of it lately. I know you mentioned Blackberry Farms is a good spot, but any other places you guys like to hang out, or if you have an off day together, what is the most important thing? What are you excited to do?
Well, during season, honestly, we don't really do much, just because, like, with both of us traveling, we kind of just want to hang out, you know? So we usually just hang out at our house with our dogs. We're actually very lazy during his season. But I mean, it's the simple things that make us happy. But then off season, we love to travel. I love seeing new places. We went to Africa for a honeymoon, so that was really cool. And then we'll usually go to Switzerland to see his family for a few weeks in the summers, which is always fun too. But yeah.
All right, let's close on this. Hopefully they haven't been replaced in their importance yet, but you do have two amazing dogs, Kingsley and Bella. Talk to us about life with them, and if you think they're going to be, I guess, good siblings, if you will, in the next few months.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, anyone who knows me knows how obsessed I am with my dogs. Adore them. Kingsley is a Rhodesian Ridgeback, and we got him from a breeder in New York because Roman has always wanted a Rhodesian Ridgeback, and I just wanted a dog. I didn't care. So we got him first, and then we got Bella from a shelter. We rescued her from Williamson County Animal Shelter, I guess, 3 years ago now? Probably 3 years. But, yeah, and she could not be a more perfect fit for our family. Her and Kingsley are so cute. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know how Bella will be great with the kids. Kingsley, I'm a little worried about, to be honest. He has temper sometimes. So I think it'll, hopefully he'll be fine. You know, if he sees me like holding the baby nonstop in the beginning, and then by the time the baby's like crawling around, hopefully he'll understand like it's a part of the family. So fingers crossed.
Well, Thomas, you've been through this experience. You have any tips?
Yeah, well, our dog sizes are a bit different. I have a Jack Russell Terrier. I think she's 13 pounds. So,
oh my God.
I don't know if the advice would correspond very well. But it was funny. We brought our daughter home from the hospital, and we had this whole like plan of like we're gonna introduce them or whatever. And of course, she got right out of the fence and like ran up and like was like, "What in the world are you having this car seat here?" But since then, they have become the best of friends. It's so funny, and your doctor will probably tell you this, but one of the first words your child often learns is your dog's name because they hear you yelling it all the time, and she was the same way. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's so, yeah, it's the best when the dogs are sweet with the babies. It's so cute.
Yeah, for 100%. Yeah, they are the best of friends right now.
Oh, I love that.
Well, good luck with everything, and we're so happy to have you on. We'll have to get you back on once the baby is here, and I will just be curious to know how the dogs are acclimating, quite frankly, but we'll certainly have more to talk about. But Ellie, thanks for doing this. We certainly appreciate the time. It's been great to hear from you, and congratulations to you and Roman on everything that's been happening lately. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. That was awesome.
Absolutely. Up next, we'll touch on a pair of contracts that have been signed and some news from around the NHL. This is the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Preds Official Podcast, episode 101 of the show on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming right now on the Game Nashville app. For more about the show, to rate, subscribe, to listen to the previous 100 episodes, go to NashvillePredators.com/podcast. For Brooks, I'm Thomas Max, our producer for this third segment of the show, where Brooks, we've had some transactions in the last week. Yakov Trenin re-signing with a 2-year deal and Michael McCarron signing a 1-year deal to remain with the organization.
Indeed, the Yak is back. A 2-year, $1.45 million contract, $700,000 in 2021, and then $750,000 in 21-22. So two more seasons of Yakov, who has... But I don't know if he's cult hero status yet, but he's the one punch the one punch of Zdeno Chara.
Sure,
that to helps. Buckle is that is what most people in the comments I saw had mentioned that. But I mean, he got some playing time, and I think he'll certainly get every chance to do that again, especially on a 1-way deal. The Predators
Correct.
Think that he will be up here in the NHL.
Yes, and of course, one more time. 1-way deal, you know, just means that the salary is the same. Doesn't mean he couldn't go to Milwaukee, just means that likely waivers would be involved. So that's a progression for him in his career. And I would say when the Predators took him in the second round in 2015, I think they probably thought he was more of a top six talent. That was probably more of their hope. But credit to him to, over his years in the AHL, be able to reinvent himself a little bit to more of a traditional hard-checking, forechecking kind of guy with a little bit of scoring touch. And so with what we suspect will be an offseason with a lot of forward turnover, it looks like the Predators have a role for him. If you actually remember back with me, he was one of the players that David Poile mentioned by name in his initial offseason comments to say, like, we have a vision, we have a role for Trenin on this team. So we'll see as the minutes maybe increase a little bit, or at least probably a nightly role. I still would say he's probably a 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th forward kind of guy, maybe even 13th on some nights. You know, to sit out. But I think they need him to take a little bit of a step further. They give him effectively the league minimum deal, but bring him back, and you know, will be nice to see what he can do with some more opportunity.
Absolutely. And then Michael McCarron, a 1-year deal worth $700,000 at the NHL level and $300,000 at the AHL level. So a 2-way deal. He could be in Milwaukee. But I had already thought to make this comparison, and as I sit here and think about what I'm going to say, I'm realizing there are way more similarities than even I realized. So Michael McCarron is a centerman. He's 6'6", and I'm going to compare him to, you're going to say, Jarrett Tenorti's a defenseman, you idiot. I know Jarrett Tenorti's a defenseman, but I'm going to
Jarrett
make...
Jarrett Tenorti's a defenseman, you idiot. Oh, sorry.
Exactly. I'm going to make this comparison, though, because I think it could be a similar situation. Jarrett Tenorti... drafted gosh, almost, I guess, a decade ago in the first round by the Montreal Canadiens, toiled around in the minors, really gets his first legitimate chance with the Predators last season, ends up sticking on the roster, and does a good job for the type of player he is. He's never going to score 20 goals or rack up all the points, but he's physical, he'll fight, he'll stick up for teammates, he's a good defender, and he got his chance last year. Michael McCarron, same deal, a former first-round pick of the Montreal Canadiens, has gotten chances in the NHL before, but hasn't really stuck ever. The Predators acquire him last year in a minor league deal with Montreal. So he comes over from AHL Laval and did a great job for the Admirals. He scored 10 goals and 13 points in 27 games with Milwaukee. Of course, they led the AHL last season. McCarron played a good role on that team. He's also not afraid to drop the gloves. Again, he's 6'6". He can certainly handle his own. And he was part of that group that went with the Predators to Edmonton. He wasn't judged to be good enough to get into any of those games in the bubble, but he was good enough to say, we'd like you to come with us and have you just around the group. So not saying that McCarron will play any games with the Predators this season, but I would not be surprised to see him up here at one point or another. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy in the room, too. He's been a leader on some of his minor league teams. He's got a really good personality. He's funny. And just, again, another name to watch out for. Not saying that he's going to be on that opening night roster, but I would certainly think if he's not, he's one of the first guys that gets called up.
I was going to say, it seems like you're saying he's elevated himself enough on the depth chart that when injuries occur, which they will, maybe he's more likely to be a call-up than, you know, we would have thought in the months past. So I think the comparison is good. I will not be mad at you because you did not complete either one of my two biggest sports cliches, which are, number one, referring to a pick as a former third round pick. No, like, just because it happened 3 years ago, he's still a third round pick. He's not a former third round pick.
I said that last week about Dan Hynote, I wanted to call him a former Stanley Cup winner. Like, no, he's still won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, exactly. And then second, and this one drives me crazy because it's happening more these days, when a football player, particularly when they're coming back from injury, they'll say he's going to be on a pitch count. A pitch count? A snap count. Like, you have a term for your own sport. He's not going to be throwing a baseball out there on the football field.
So you thought I might have said he's going to be on a pitch count.
Right. Yeah.
No,
you didn't. No, again, so you're good in my book. No issues there.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Awesome. Well, so before we speak to you next on episode 102, hockey on the ice will likely be over. I think it almost certainly will be over. The Stanley Cup Final set to play a back-to-back this weekend, games 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. And so then it will wrap up over that next week, barring, of course, the Lightning could win those next two games. We could be done with it even this coming weekend. But it will be over before we speak to you next. So any thoughts on the Dallas Stars? Of course, a Preds rival, just faced them in the Winter Classic even, and then the Tampa Bay Lightning in this 2020 Stanley Cup Final.
Well, I just think Tampa's so good. It was really cool to see Steven Stamkos come back in Game 3. He's not going to play in Game 4. We've learned that ahead of Game 4. But he comes back in Game 3. Their captain had been injured since February. Yeah. Scores a goal in the first period.
I know.
And that was, I mean, you just love stories like that. So cool to see that. And I just think, I mean, Tampa's just such a good team. I mean, Dallas has been great in this postseason. But if Tampa keeps playing the way that they've been playing, it certainly seems like they would be the more likely team. Of course, it is hockey. Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, so good for Tampa. They're up 2-1 on Friday afternoon as we record this. So as you said, back-to-back, they could be all wrapped up by Saturday evening, I guess. So
that'd be crazy.
We'll see on that. And then really quick, the NHL did announce some off-season training protocols for teams in their respective markets. The guidelines are very similar to what we saw in Phase 2 of the return-to-play plan that you'll remember over the summer. So that's just to say, if guys are here in Nashville, teams can open up the facilities in small groups to players who would like to skate and get some workouts in. And again, the NHL has once again restated that the dates for the start of training camp and the 2020-21 season have not yet been decided. The draft and free agency, that first full week of October, round one of the NHL draft, October 6th, rounds 2 through 7 on the 7th, and then free agency is October 9th. We will have so much more on that in episode 102 next week.
Yeah, so don't get us wrong. Just because hockey on the ice appears to be taking a break, we have maybe more news than we've ever had before in the offseason in the coming weeks or two. Let's get into some of your Twitter questions and the giveaways that you've maybe been fast-forwarding to or hopefully holding on and listening to find out who the winners will be. That's next on the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back to wrap things up on episode 101 of the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Thomas. I'm Brooks. Max is here too. Little Levici on the keys. Chris Martin. And we are back now to get to your Twitter questions. But before that, it's been a hot minute since we've given anything away, but we have five things to pass out. Thanks to your feedback from episode 100, we asked what your favorite episode was. Lots of good entries, liked hearing some of the memories, really a lot of different things. I know Wes McCauley was later in the clubhouse, but a lot of different episodes you guys all listed as your favorite. So thanks so much. We always appreciate you getting involved. And a lucky five of you have been chosen to receive some of our items. So the winner of so we had three Matt Duchene bobbleheads, three kind of prize packs that include a Matt Duchene bobblehead. There's also some other items in there as well. So the three winners of that are Renee Bohannon, Ebug Foti is the name. I think his name's Neil, maybe. And then Stephanie Van Sillette, who I liked her answer. She said, my favorite episode was when Pecorine scored a goal and ruined the rundown.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
good time. So the three of you, congratulations. You've won a prize pack that includes a Matt Duchene bobblehead. The winner of a Kelly Yarncrock game-used stick is Hayden Nelson. And the winner of a Matthias Ekholm game-used stick is Peter Newsom. So congratulations to all five of you. A Predators representative named Brooks Bratton will be in touch, and we will figure out how to get those items to you. And again, thanks so much for everyone who entered and told us your favorite episodes, some good memories there as we enjoyed running through those.
Yes, a lot of entries. That was a lot of fun to look back on some of those. We don't have all the details yet, but we mentioned that draft coverage is coming up. The Predators will be hosting a live social media show on night one of the draft on October the 6th. Stay tuned for that. You'll see Facebook events and other details coming. And then we're probably going to have some get-togethers coming up soon as well with the draft and free agency coming up in roughly 2 weeks, a little bit less, depending on which one you're referring to. Misty says, are the Preds in the market to trade any picks or looking for more to restock the prospects pool with Granlund and Smith exploring free agency?
Good question, Misty. So as she mentioned, David Poile has talked about kind of a youth movement, and that is something that I think they would like to stick with. You hear Poile joke all the time that his scouts try to take his phone away because they don't want those high picks to be traded. Do not expect the first round pick to be traded. Never say never, but I think the Predators are pretty intent on utilizing that number 11 pick. They do have some more high picks to work with. There's two in the second, two in the third. Mm-hmm. And never say never. Again, I think the Preds would probably like to restock the cupboard. But if something comes up and you never know this time of the year, I mean, you just never know what's going to happen and who's going to call and offer what for what. So I think the plan now is to probably stick with it and get five quality players in the first three rounds. But never say never. Anything is possible.
Rich then asked, how does the trade process work? Does David Poile call another GM and say, I'll give you this guy, and they hammer it out? Like, how does that work? We have two cool stories on this. So normally in the context, an NHL draft is held in an NHL arena and set up on where the ice would be on the draft floor, our 31 table, soon to be 32. And it legitimately is as easy as two GMs standing up and talking to each other over a cookie, you know, or whatever it is.
Cookies.
They are set up with, you know, corded phones as well. And the phone is ringing all the time. Absolutely. It's as simple as, you know, hey, like your pick's coming up, you know, would you want this player for that pick if you want to do that? Or in recent memory, the PK Subban Shea Weber trade started at the draft. So That's where David Poile approached Mark Bergevin and said, you know, are you going to trade PK Subban? Like, kind of make peace with that. And when Mark Bergevin got to the point where he yes, was. He said, well, what about Shea Weber? And so that actually took a couple more days. But yes, it is absolutely as simple as this guy for that guy or that pick. And a lot of times, and this is, leads into your story, there can be scenarios as well, right? Like, I may want to do a trade, you know, depending on this situation. Or, oh, you know, my opponent or rival just made a trade. Now I'm more interested. And you can certainly have different deals like that. For example, Ray Shiro of the New Jersey Devils told the story recently. Another time, PK Subban was traded from Nashville to the Devils, and he said that Poile was, you know, very forthcoming with multiple teams and said PK Subban's, you know, on the table. Mm-hmm. Basically, pitched to me the best one, and it oftentimes a lot is more than just as simple as, oh yeah, that guy for that guy. Well, because there's finances involved, there can be other players. So when a deal gets close, like, you can start to see, like, your accounting department, for example, can get involved to make sure that it's all right. That was the case with that last Subban deal. It took till the next morning, day two of the draft, because basically Shiro had to go talk to his owners, talk to his, you know, finances before they brought on the big contract with PK Subban.
And the GMs all know each other. They'll text, they'll call, they'll email, and yeah, guys know when guys are available. If people want to make something known, that is typically not a surprise in the GM circles. And yeah, another interesting one, and we may talk about this more next week if we... We might have Jeff Kelty. I don't know who we're going to have, but Jeff Kelty is the one, the Predators assistant general manager, longtime chief scout, who told me this one, and it's been told before, but how the Predators actually drafted Roman Josi. They got him in the second round of, gosh, what was the year?
2008, right? 2008, off the top of my head. Yeah.
I think it was 2008 in Montreal. Roman Josi was selected in the second round. Predators, they wanted him. They knew they wanted him, right? So their first pick in that second round that year was pick number 46. Roman Josi was still on the board after the first round, but the Predators were pretty sure he wasn't going to make it starting at 31 the next day. He wasn't still going to be there at 46. The night after round one, they have a debriefing meeting, and Jeff Kelty and his scouts are saying to David Poile, we have got to get this guy. We have got to trade up to try to get him. And David said, all right, if you're that adamant about it, I'll see what I can do. So he goes to every team who is picking starting at 31 that next morning and goes to every single one of them and works his way back and says, can we do this? Can we trade up with you? And finally he hits 38, and it's Arizona. And David Poile says, and this is fascinating how this works at the draft, we have a player on the board that we want. We're not going to tell you who, and why would they?
Right.
We're not going to tell you who, but if our player is still available at 38, could we make this deal with you? Mm-hmm. Arizona says yes. David Poile goes back to Jeff Kelty, says, you want to do it? Kelty says, yes, 100%, absolutely, let's do it. So they get to pick number 38. Roman Josi is still available. David Poile then says to Arizona, our guy is still there, we'll do this deal with you. So Nashville sends picks 46 and 76 to Arizona in exchange for 38. They pick Roman Josi. The rest is history. So just a really cool look into even a kind of a scenario, a what-if scenario, and to say, this is, we've agreed on this, but this has to happen first. So just there's so much that happens. And for every trade that happens, I would say there's 10 trades that get talked about that don't happen.
I was actually just going to say that. And if you're wondering, like, are there deals where it's as simple as, hey, can I have this guy? And the answer is just no. Absolutely. That happens too. Not every time does a GM call another GM and it's a 30-minute conversation while they're going back and forth. No, sometimes it's just, you know what? Nah, you know, not today. Yep. If you want more of those stories, go to the Preds website. 10 different videos are up about some of the best Predators draft picks over the years. It's David Poile in about 2-minute segments telling those stories. Very cool. Many of those, well, we traded up or we waited or that guy was there. And so those are really cool. Go check out all of those. Brandon wants to know, do you believe GM Poile will indeed go with the youth movement that he says that he wants? Or could he bring in one or two other players to add some grit? Seems like the young guys could play the Predator way, which we now want, without breaking the bank. I mean, those are the options, effectively. I would still lean toward the Predators making some level of move for free agency, which is October the 9th this year. But I don't expect it to be flashy. I don't expect it to be a big thing. So maybe that does lean into a third-pair veteran on defense type of guy, or maybe a third or fourth type guy, but still probably a lower salary cap hit, a lower price tag overall. But in short, yes, I do believe in. I do believe David Poile when he says that they want to do a youth movement through their own prospects. So we've talked about it before. I won't get into it now, but the Tolvanen, Pitlick, Tomasino, all of those names. And then on defense, you know, the Davies and the Carrier. Absolutely, I think they're in the conversation to be on that opening night roster.
Agree. Would not surprise me. Almost kind of expected at this point that a veteran player, lower tier, third, fourth line, third pair defenseman would likely be brought in. But as you said, don't expect anything flashy. I really think they would like to stick to that youth movement. If a deal, if an offer comes up that they can't refuse, obviously they'll look at that. But I really think it is all about the youth movement here. And Brandon, I agree with you. I think that a lot of those guys who have a lot to prove could help get back to that Predator way that David Poile talks about. Finally, Caleb said, is the Yak back?
He is indeed. He is indeed.
Return of the Mac.
Return of the Yak attack is back. Don't eat a snack.
Ack.
All right. From Brooks Bratton, you can follow him on Twitter at Brooks Bratton. On Instagram, he's brooks.bratton. I am Thomas. I'm at Tom A. Willis on Twitter. You can follow the show along at Prison HL. They've got the best content there, the best behind-the-scenes content. Use hashtag Preds Podcast, to ask questions, to comment, to enter into future giveaways. This has been episode 101 of the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For more about the show, NashvillePredators.com/podcast. Thanks so much to Ellie Yossi for coming on the show, talking to us about Roman, her career, and the future baby Yossi, the boy baby Yossi on the way. This is the POP. Thanks for tuning in.
See you, friends.